Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, in Exodus in chapter number 35. The book of Exodus and chapter number 35. We're beginning our series of the tabernacle, and we took some time to explain the setting on Wednesday night, where we began to explain why did we have to have the tabernacle, and establishing the principles that we find in the Bible that God desires to be worshipped. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. And that in order to worship God, we must worship God in spirit, and we must worship God in truth. And that man has always had the habit, the tendency to go and turn from worship of God, whether it's worshiping something else or not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So God had established the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God amongst His people, so that way they could be reminded that God is real, that God wants to be there among them, and has given them rituals and rules for the Old Testament people so they could worship Him in spirit and truth. This morning, we explained that the whole purpose of the tabernacle was that it was a picture book, and that the picture that it's pointing to is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. That every part of the tabernacle is to be a reflection and to teach the Old Testament people who Jesus is. And now as we start getting to the practicalities, the tabernacle is not built yet. They're still getting prepared for it. Moses has just received the plans for the tabernacle. He spent 40 days and 40 nights not getting the Ten Commandments. It didn't take 40 days, 40 nights to get the Ten Commandments. It took 40 days and 40 nights to receive the plans, the very detailed plans of the tabernacle. And now that He has come back, God is now orchestrating, all right, we got the plans, now how are we going to build it? Are we going to hire contractors? Are we going to get some from Egypt? What are we going to do? How are we going to put this together? How are we going to fund this thing? And so remember, there's a principle that God is always previous, that God already knew there was going to be a need, and He already knew how He was going to fulfill that need before anybody realized there was a need. That's how good of a God that we are, that we have, is that God is able to plan ahead. And if you don't mind, let's look at this in the book of Exodus chapter 35. The book of Exodus chapter 35, and notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 20. Exodus 35 and verse number 20, the Bible says this: "And the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for His service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and they brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set, and for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Exodus chapter 35? The book of Exodus chapter number 35, and notice with me in verse number 21, where it speaks about the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. The Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. And with this, we're going to be able to explain the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, explaining where did all the materials come from that was used to build the tabernacle. Let's pray, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you now, we're just asking that you would open up this passage and open up the principles of the Bible, and that you would once again help us to see you high, holy, and lifted up. That you would be able to show us whom you are, and that we would be able to be willing to be obedient to whatever you give us to do. That we would have a good response to the reflection of whom you are. Lord, I'm asking that you would just help and be with us. Fill me with your precious spirit for the purpose that you get your own work accomplished through your precious word, and that you would do something special in our service tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin to examine this passage, it begins to explain how did the materials get here. Let's just start with that question. Where did the building supplies come from? Where did the building supplies come from? Well, notice again in verse number 20, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." So Moses got through explaining the plans and how they're going to do, what they're going to need for it. And so basically he said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build a tabernacle. And in order to build the tabernacle, this dwelling place of God, these are the things we're going to need. The people left that meeting, verse 21, and they, the people of Israel, came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone of whom spirit made willing. This is going to be important. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for his service and for the holy garments. The people of Israel willingly offered the supplies needed to build the tabernacle. So where did it come from? It came from the people who were there with them. They didn't outsource. They didn't get it from somewhere else. They didn't take out a loan. They didn't do this or do this. They didn't have an elephant sell. They didn't try to get the other heathen involved. They willingly took an offering among themselves. And God was able to use that. Now, as a reminder, we have explained this before, but let's do it again, that the idea that the tithe is the 10%, and that already belongs to the Lord. The tithe is not yours. The tithe belongs to the Lord. An offering is from the remaining 90% that you technically have stewardship over, and that you willingly give of your part. Now, this is a big deal because it's easy to give someone else's money. It's not mine, so I'm going to go give it. It's another thing when it's my money, or I think it's my money, and be willing to give it. You know, it's amazing to watch kids to give them some money and put it in for like a penny offering. If you give them some money, they have no problems giving your money in the penny offering. You don't watch the little kids say, "No, it's mine," if someone else had given to them. It's funny to watch adults say, "No, it's mine." But the offering was something above and beyond the tithe. And it was willingly given of the people as a willing gift from their portion. Remember, God uses human instrumentality to get his work done. Some people just imagine that the way that God supplies is that he just magically grows a money tree, that we're going to walk into church one morning and right here at the altar and this table, there's going to be a big tree that sprouted from the concrete from just the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, this money tree has money blooming all over the place and yay, God supplied. Well, that's not how God works. Some people might imagine that, oh, you know what happens is that we just open our bank account and all of a sudden there's one and just 100 zeros behind it. Now we know it's, that's not how God supplies. God is always supplied by human instrumentality, by human beings who are just used of God to do their part. And this is how God is supplied, by human instrumentality. He uses humans to fund his work. He always has done it this way. Now, notice these things that the tabernacle that was brought and that the tabernacle is going to be used of. The tabernacle is going to be built of metals. We're going to see in future lessons how all these put together, but there's going to be gold, there's going to be silver, and there's going to be bronze. That means someone had to give gold, someone had to give silver, and they had to have bronze. There were fabrics. There was fine linen. There was goat's hair. There was ram skins. There was badger skins that were given. People had to say, well, I'm going to give these skins, which are very precious, and I'm going to give them to the Lord. This is a big offering. You see, it's not just money. They had to give supplies. They didn't have a Home Depot. It wasn't the idea that someone could cut them a big check and that they could go shopping somewhere. They didn't have Amazon back there. Amazon didn't have two-day delivery out in the middle of the wilderness. The people had to give of their own stuff. So I have a ram skin at home, and that's what we use when we set up our tent. That's what we lay on. I believe the Lord wants me to give this and give it to the Lord. Some guy's got a couple nuggets of gold, some big things. It's something precious. He was planning on passing it down to his kids. And then God stirs him up and he says, I believe that God wants me to give this. And so they would give of this. Wood had to be given. Now, may I remind you, there's not a lot of forest out in the middle of the desert. Wood is quite precious. They had to give oils, spices, precious stones. It was a type of giving here that no one was left out. Everyone could give something. The rich folks could give gold. Poor folks could give animal skins. Some people gave labor. We see in this that some of the women, verse number 25, and all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And all those women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Now, this is a big deal that some of the ladies said, I don't have much to give, but I know how to sew. Now, for those of you who already seen our tabernacle display, there's a lot of material that needed to be put together. We're going to go through it visually here in the upcoming series, but there's a lot of things that needed to be sewn together, and they had to be sewn together in a specific pattern. There were certain things that had to be put together. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to sew animal fur, but I can't imagine that's fun to put together. And it had to be put together in a certain dimension that you could put over the tabernacle, and it had to be big enough and roll up and strong enough. There's a lot of things that went with that. With the idea of a veil, which was supposed to be really thick, like a big curtain. Well, again, they don't have electricity. They don't have nice Singer sewing machines. There was a lot of work that had to be done. In fact, if you might remember, it's going to take 9 months to put this thing together. 9 months to beat the gold into the pillars. 9 months to take the wood and to be able to put it the way it should. 9 months to take the silver to put the caps over the thing. It's going to take 9 months to put the base together. It's going to take 9 months to sew all the curtains, to sew all the coverings, to sew the linen courtyard. That courtyard is surrounded by linen sheets. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to keep white sheets clean in the middle of the desert? And to sew them together and to put them there so that they would be an effective barrier? There's a lot of work that went done that did to it. This wasn't just something where, all right, well, we'll give this stuff and then preacher can take care of this. Labor was a very big deal to offer as well. And praise the Lord for the laborers, these wise-hearted ladies that said, I'm willing to use my skills for the Lord. I'm willing to do this to help the service of the house of God. That everyone could play a part. Everyone could do something. Everyone could offer something. Now again, none of this was forced. And we're going to cover that in a second. But it was all given willingly. So how did he gather all of this stuff? Where did they get the materials? It was by the willing giving of the people. The people had it the whole time. They gave it and God used it. So that begs the question, where did the people get the supplies? So we found out, how did we get the supplies for the tabernacle? The people gave it. Well, the next question is, where did the people get it from? How did they get all this stuff? I meant, weren't they slaves in Egypt? Where did they get all this stuff? Well, that's a good question. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 21, notice a key phrase. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. If you notice, this idea of the Lord's offering appears a couple different times in this passage, that it is the Lord's offering. What does this mean? This carries the idea that God is the one who provided in the first place. God is the one who made it available. God provided the riches for the people as they left Egypt. In fact, let's just go back in history and show you. You might want to keep your finger here. We are turning back. But notice with me in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is at the very tail end of the 10 plagues of Egypt. Now, as the plagues have devastated Egypt and the firstborn of the Egyptian has died, the Pharaoh has finally said, please just go, get out of here. And as the people are now packing up and getting ready to leave Egypt, notice, if you don't mind, what occurs. In verse number, in Exodus chapter 12, notice with me in verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So notice what happened, and it's using nice, kind Bible words, but as Egypt is destroyed and the Israelites are coming out, they feel led to ask the Egyptians, hey, can we have some gold? You know, have you ever had someone say, can I borrow something? And you know they're never going to give it back. That's this kind of borrowing. Hey, can I borrow some gold? We're not giving it back. Can I borrow it? And the Egyptians want them gone so badly, they give everything. Anything and everything they ask. So much that it said that they spoiled them. The idea of spoiled means they took it all. God had already provided. God knew exactly what was going to be needed for the tabernacle. Notice again in verse 35. And the children of Israel did according, verse number 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egypt. Notice it was God that was behind it the whole time. God provoked the Egyptians to say, here, take it. God's the one who laid it on the Egyptians' mind to say that they felt like they needed to give it. God was behind it the whole time. Why? He already knew how he was going to supply. Remember, there is a principle, I just brought it up before, that God is always previous. That before we even realized we had a need, God had already provided an answer. God did that with salvation. Before man even realized we needed a Savior, Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God had already provided a lamb before mankind even realized he knew he had a need. God supplies this now. You know that God already knows what this church is going to go through? God already knows what he wants us to attempt to do. And God already knows how he's going to supply the need. God already knows how he's going to supply the need. God says, this is what I want you to do. Well, how in the world are we going to do this? God says, I've already got it handled. I've already got it. God's not up there going, oh man, how are they going to get out of this mess? I mean, I wasn't planning for this. How am I going to supply for them? I mean, where am I going to get the money? God's not worried about money. God already has everything planned. God already has everything worked out. He already knows if he's led the people to do something. Remember, the people were led by God to build the tabernacle. God already knew how he was going to supply for the tabernacle. He says, hey, that's why I gave you all the stuff earlier. And he provided it. Isn't that amazing? Now, this brings up a principle that, in all essence, remember that God already owns everything. God owns all the gold, the Bible says. God owns the whole earth, the Bible says. God owns every soul, the Bible says. God owns everything. Technically, we don't own anything. God owns it all. And God expects and allows us to use his wealth and expects us to be good stewards. That's a word that I want you to have down. He expects us to be stewards. It's his money, it's his finances, it's his work, it's his health that he has granted us. He is expecting us to use his stuff wisely. Well, when we look at it this way, that it's not mine, it's all his, and all I'm supposed to do is be obedient to what he told me to do, it makes it a lot easier. That God is able to do a work. Excuse me. So turn back with me to Exodus 35. So we said, where did the supplies come from? The people gave it. We asked the question, excuse me, where did the people get the supplies? Well, God already provided it as they were leaving Egypt. God had the Egyptians just give them the stuff. I'm sure it didn't cross the Egyptians' mind right then, but they're like, what are they going to do out in the middle of the wilderness with gold? What good is that going to do with them out there? What are they going to do with this and that? They gave it anyways. Just get out of here. Just get out of here. We just want you gone. Okay, cool. You wanted that badly, sure. But God already knew what he was going to do. Now we come to another question. How did the people give the supplies? How did the people give the supplies? Look back with me in Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Notice with me in verse 21. And they came, everyone, notice this, whose heart stirred him up. So we could see, how did they give? Well, God stirred up their heart. They felt like this is something that God wanted them to do. Verse number 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made willing. So inside of their heart, they had a willing spirit. Something inside of them, God softened their heart, and they said, this is something I want to do. This is something I believe God wants me to do, and it's something I'm willing to do. It's no big deal to give it. Sure, I'd be glad to. Notice again in verse 22, and they came, both men and women. Notice it wasn't just men, men and women, as many as were willing hearted. They were willing. They were stirred up. They believed this is what God gave them to do. God softened their heart and made them where they were willing. And now they're willing hearted. Notice in verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart had made them willing. They gave with a willing heart. By the way, that's how Christians should give. By the voluntarily willing offering. Nobody should be forced to give. It should be something that they believe that this is what God's given them to do. And by faith, they step out and they give it willingly. God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, let's look at it. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians. We're coming back to this. But notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what the Bible has to say about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And notice with me in verse 7. Every man according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So notice this. How are people supposed to give? As according as he's purposed in his heart. Meaning that God has stirred him up. He says, I believe this is what the Lord wants me to do. And as they say that God has given him to do, let him give. So if God stirred you up to give, then you give it. How do you give? Not grudgingly. You shouldn't say, fine, God, just take it. That's not what God is looking for. Fine, God, fine, you just take it. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for people who are willing-hearted. Why? Not grudgingly, not of necessity, meaning forced to do it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You could put in your mind there, a willing giver. I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I get to. I love the Lord. God has done this for me. It's no problem for me to give. By the way, I'm so encouraged that for the most part, our church has really grasped this principle. We have givers here. And it's amazing to watch what God does. Because you're not forced to. You shouldn't say, well, God made me give. You should be at the place where God opened up the door and gave me the privilege of giving. Because you can never outgive God. God is a debtor to no man. Notice with me, just one chapter back, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And notice with me verse 12. Now this is talking specifically about the churches of Macedonia. But notice how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man that hath, and not according to that he hath not. So notice, it first has to be a willing mind. Lord, I'll be glad to give if you provide it. And when God asks you to give, he's going to ask you to give of what you're able to give, not what you're not able to give. God's a realistic God. Aren't you glad he's practical? But he's looking of a willing mind. You know, it is amazing what happens when people are willing to just be obedient to the Lord and watch God work. There's no bounds of what God could get accomplished with willing people. Now, I know that there are some people from time to time that think, this is what in the world are you speaking about here? This is crazy talk. But living with God's blessing is worth it. And that God gives a blessing. When someone gives by spirituality, there's much liberty. What does that mean? That's big fancy talk. When I'm doing it because I love the Lord, then it's not a big deal for me to give. I am willing. The idea of willing is the big key here. Well, what happens here? Well, turn back with me to the book of Exodus. So the people gave. They gave of themselves, they gave of supplies, they gave the other stuff. Remember, Moses started off by saying, hey, let me explain what God has given us to do. I believe the Lord wants me to build a tabernacle. Here are the blueprints. God spent 40 days giving me the blueprints. God wants to dwell among us. He doesn't want to be separate. He wants to dwell among us. This is going to be a dwelling place for him. God gets to be with us. And the people said, this sounds great. He says, all right, now, in order to build this, we're going to need some help, guys. We're going to need some help. And the people went and prayed and said, man, we want to be a part of this. Hey, this sounds like we want to be a part of this. And so they just started giving. It was no big deal. Praise the Lord. I have no problems giving. I want to do this for the Lord. Remember, the whole principle here is that they're doing it because they love the Lord. And because they love the Lord, notice the result of this. Exodus 36. So in Exodus 36, they've been collecting the offering. Notice what happens. Exodus 36, verse 5. And they spake to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord. That's a statement that hasn't been quite said here yet. But I'm looking forward to it. The people gave much more than enough for the service of the Lord, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave a commandment, and they caused to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. The people were so willing that they gave it. And just a short amount of time, what happened is that they gave the supplies. It was measured approximately at 1 metric ton that was given. And today's economy, counting for inflation, I just reinflated it 2 days ago. It was approximately $2 million worth of stuff. The people just willingly gave. $2 million they just gave. And we want to build this thing. We want to make sure it's done right. We're glad to give. And Moses finally came in. They're like, well, praise the Lord. We've got more than enough. We don't have to stop. Pause. That's something you don't normally hear at a church service, right? But what made the difference? People were willing. What made them willing, by the way? It was the idea of motive. You see, they gave out of a grateful heart. They gave in order to give instead of get. Meaning that, why do I serve God? I don't serve God in order to get something from him. I serve God because of what he's already done for me. What did God do for the children of Israel? They were slaves for 400 years. And God supernaturally brought plagues upon the Egyptians to let the people go. Then God allowed the Egyptians just to give them a bunch of stuff. By the way, this is a bunch of stuff they didn't have a couple months ago. Now, God has opened up the Red Sea, and they supernaturally walked across the Red Sea. Now he's bringing manna from the sky every day, except for the Sabbath day, to feed them. These people have watched the power of God, and it affected them. They watched God be real in their lives. They saw a God who was on the throne. And because of their vision of God, it had affected how they responded. They said, God, you've done so much for me. I'm not trying to give these things in order to get something back. I'm not giving $5 expecting you to give me $500. I'm giving just because of what you've already done for me. I'm thankful. This is my way of worshiping you. Remember, an offering is a worship service that we're acknowledging what God has already done for us and by faith expecting that God will continue to take care of us. When you're looking at it that way, it's worship. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to get something back from God. I'm doing it because he's a great God. I'm glad. If I have the opportunity to do so, I'm glad to do it. If God has something that he wants to do with it, if I could see that God has a need for it, I'm glad to provide. And remember, God's not going to ask or prompt something that you don't have. God's not unreasonable. He says, this is something you have available. Great. Now, I know sometimes it can be inconvenient because it's something like, well, this is what I want you to give, but I can't get Burger King this week. You could survive without Burger King for the week. God, Zeb's like, yes, always survive without Burger King. But, you know, we eat so much fast food, a lot of that could be given to the Lord. And there's sometimes that God says, you know, this is what I want you to give. Then you have to choose between your McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese or giving to the Lord. Now, he's asking you to give of something that you're able to give, but you have a choice. That's often where we go to is our choices. Well, if I do this, I may have to give up my soda pop for a week. Well, it probably wouldn't hurt you any. You could fill in the blanks. I'm being facetious on these things. But God just encourages us. But he's not asking you to do it if you're not willing. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a willing giver. Why? Because our motive should be about him. I'm not doing it in order to get something from him. I'm doing it because of what he's already done for me. If you don't mind, may I show you just one more verse? Look with me in the gospel record of Luke. The gospel record of Luke, chapter number 6. Now, this is encouraging because we can look at projects, including the one currently that we believe that the Lord has done for us, and we can look at the numbers needed and look at how many of us and say the numbers outnumber us. And we could say, well, this is impossible. But God won't lead us to do something that's impossible for him. We may not know how God's going to provide, but God will. But God will also use us little as much when God is in it. Now, again, you understand I'm not using this as a platform to beg, all right? I'm just teaching this is what's next up. The principle is, where do they get the stuff for the tabernacle? Well, this is what God did to provide for the tabernacle. We're hitting the principle why we're here, but notice with me Luke chapter 6, and notice with me verse 38. And if you've never marked this, highlighted it, started it, please do this. Make this a memory verse. Not for my sake, not for the church's sake, but for your sake. But this teaches us how God does things. Luke chapter 6, and notice with me verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Remember, God is a debtor to no man. Notice, if we give, it shall be given to you. Good measure. What is it speaking about? This is a cooking term. Have you ever measured flour? So let's use flour. If I was going to put a measure of flour and a good measure, you take what you need and then you pile it up. Have you ever seen that pile of, take a cup and you have some flour hanging up over it? Good measure. But notice this. Then it's pressed down. So let's take flour, and you had the good measure. What happens is that God says, I want to give, but not just heaping bowl. That's not enough. Let's press it down. Have you ever taken flour? You could actually press flour down and squeeze it in more. He says, oh, now that's not enough. Let's push it down. I want to give to you so much that I want to give more. So he presses it down, and now you got more room to put more flour onto it. But not only good measure, not only pressed down, shaken together. You could take flour and kind of shake it, and it settles down some more. Now you have more room to put more on top of it. This is, God says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You take that cup, heaping thing, squeeze it down, shake it, squeeze it down, put some more onto it, squeeze it down, shake it, and then you run it over. So now it's running over. That's what God wants to give to us. Now, this is not the principle that if you give a dollar, God's going to give you 100. That's not what it's speaking about. But it's talking about God's blessings. But notice, where does God supply this from? Given it should be good, given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. God doesn't put a money tree. He uses people to take care of his thing. He uses people to be a blessing to other people. Why? People are willing. They're willing to be obedient. And God is able to work. And God is able to supply in our need. And he's able to work. He's able to provide. He's able to be a blessing to us when we're not expecting it. God is able to do this. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, this comes the idea of willingness. If I'm willing to do what God has told me in abundance, God is willing to supply to me in abundance. There's a principle of a water pipe. Let's imagine that we had a water pipe. Some of you can imagine that. Right underneath your sink, you have a drain, a water pipe. If I have a water pipe that has an open end, how much water can I pour into it before it's full? None. There's no limit. I can keep pouring and pouring and pouring, and what's going to happen? It's going to keep going out. What happens if I cap it? Now, is there a limit of how much water that can go in there? Absolutely. The idea here is that if we're willing to be a channel, God will continue to supply it to us so we can continue to supply it to other people. God wants to use us such as a channel. And as long as the channel is open, as long as the channel is willing, God is willing to trust us with some more. Amen. That's how God works. That's how God supplies for his work. He's always used human instrumentality. How does he supply for his work? The willing giving of other people. How does he supply for our needs? By the willing giving of other people. God knows how to take care of us. And he uses human instrumentality, but he's looking for willing vessels. Willing vessels. So that brings the question for us. How willing are you? It should not be the idea, well, I'm willing because I want to get something from God. Wrong motive. That's not willing. That's looking about yourself. I just want to be used of God. He has done so much for me. So if I could do something for him, it's no problem at all. God says, because you have that willing spirit, I'll keep giving you more and keep heaping it onto you because you're willing to use what I give to you to be a blessing and give to others, to my work, to supply. Be in that open channel. You know, it's amazing. This is how God works. Why is it that sometimes God's people are not millionaires or thousandaires? Because we've learned how to be a channel. God continues to use us, and little as much when God is in it. God is able to supply, and we watch God's work and impossible things be done. How can a small little rinky-dink church support that many missionaries? Well, because of that channel vessel. How in the world does God allow you to pass out so many tracts? Why is it that every year you guys give out these Christian Life journals and they say, why don't you just give them away for free? We have people that are baffled and say, it doesn't make sense. We've actually had that within the last couple months. Someone said, why in the world would you pay for that? Oh, it doesn't make sense. How don't you got better things to buy things, use it with? Well, this is what the Lord's given us to do. Well, it doesn't make sense. Well, we're just being obedient to the Lord. He continues to supply. Our church is just one of those models of how in the world does a rinky-dink church do so much? Because of the willing giving of the people, being a willing vessel. And the more that we open up that pipe, the more that we're just willing, the more God could use us to get his work accomplished. Now, again, to someone who's lost, who's not saved, or someone who's carnal, this message does not make sense. How in the world does giving money away get you more money? Well, that's the wrong way of looking at it. It's the idea that God trusts us with his finances as good stewards. He can trust us with more. It's all about stewardship. It's his money. Does he have servants who are willing to use his finances however he sees fit? He already has projects in mind, and he already knows how he wants to supply it. He's got the people available. He uses his people to get his work accomplished. This is, God keeps things simple. Now, because of this, a church that's doing things right, we don't need to borrow money from the government. Amen. A church that's doing things right doesn't have to have white elephant sales to pay the bills. We just expect God to work. And there are times that God tightens the belt, so we have to trust him. But there are times where God says, you know what? They've just been so obedient, I'm just going to keep using them. Amen. Now, this is meant to be an encouraging message. This is also why it's a Sunday night message too, because it's for our givers. It's to encourage you that God uses willing vessels. Keep yourself available, and God supplies amazing ways. He knows how to do it. Aren't you glad we have a great God? And by the way, as your pastor, thank you for your willingness to give. It is just unbelievable. Other churches just cannot understand what happens in this church. They honestly think we're running like 100, 200 people with all the things they hear us do all the time. And when they find out that it's just us, they go, how in the world? We outgive a lot of the bigger churches around the area, around the state. Isn't that encouraging? God knows what he's doing. And so I encourage you, church, to keep being a willing vessel. Now, if you're not willing, perhaps you need to check into that. Maybe you need to see for yourself what this is all about. There is nothing more encouraging to see how God uses us to do impossible things. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.